My girlfriend was a pretty big pot smoker before we got together, and one night we were out and she kept convincing me that smoking pot was really good, and I wasn't really keen, but I just decided I'd try it this one time. But I was on a pretty high prescription for Ritalin. She bought some weed that ended up being laced with speed, and I ended up overdosing and ended up in hospital. Yeah, we ended up breaking up not too long after that because she kept saying that it was because I was weak and couldn't smoke pot like she could.
Warning. Adult content. The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Weed is the most commonly used illicit drug in the country, and around 70% of 20 to 29-year-olds have tried it at some point. But what if you're smoking it regularly? How does it affect your relationship? I'm Nat Tenchich, and on the podcast, we're looking at how being 420 friendly can affect dating and you and your partner. You'll hear from people who've been introduced to it by a partner, then wondered what they were doing. Others who've been broken up with because they don't smoke. And one person who says it's enhanced their sex. Soon you'll hear from a substance abuse counsellor on how you can manage your addiction. But first, listener Sarah, whose relationship was pushed to breaking point because of the weed.
Hey, I'm Sarah from Byron Bay, and I dated a stoner. I dated a guy for about 9 months a couple of years ago, and got serious very quickly, and everything was wonderful and amazing. And about 3 months in, once the shine started to wear off, I noticed that he would get cranky at me over the smallest things and would get annoyed if I couldn't make a decision on the spot. Just really normal day-to-day things that you or I probably wouldn't even think about, he would get quite annoyed at me. And that got worse and worse. The other thing I noticed was he didn't have much of a sex drive. And obviously that came with a whole host of problems, you know, when you're dating someone and they don't want to sleep with you, that brings up a whole bunch of emotional issues coupled with his mood swings, and we'd argue more and more frequently, and I just couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, nothing really made sense. There was just no logic to some of the things he was getting cranky over, and yeah, as time went on, we just couldn't work out our problems. And I noticed he would have a joint every now and then, and it really didn't bother me. I'm pretty relaxed when it comes to weed. But what I didn't realise is that I'd go to work and he'd have a joint, and while I was at work, he'd have one at lunch, he'd have one in the afternoon. He'd probably have one again before I got back from work, and I would come home and just before bed, he'd have a joint, and that would be the only time I would see him smoking. And, you know, dating someone who has a joint every now and then really didn't bother me, but little did I know that this was happening far more frequently than I thought it was. As we got more and more into the relationship, I realised just how much he was smoking and how much he was relying on it to function, really. And I never really picked up on it because he didn't behave in a way that you'd think a normal stoner or regular smoker of weed would. He was completely functioning. He'd leap out of bed and start working on a project or get up way before I did. So it just never crossed my mind that this was kind of going on. 6 or 7 months into the relationship, I kind of pieced it all together, figured out what was happening, and I started reading, and it all started to make sense. Cannabis has THC, obviously, which lowers prolactin, which provides the body with sexual gratification. So sex isn't something you necessarily want, and it's different in different people, but I drew that connection in this case. And just things like his crankiness and mood swings and his ability to problem solve and get over issues or even avoid dealing with the difficulties in our relationship is a side effect. The thing that made me finally call the relationship, I had discussed what I was reading with him, obviously, and I was, you know, drew the connections and expressed those. I'm big on communication. And he just wouldn't take ownership of it. Towards the end, he admitted that he had a problem and confessed that he'd been smoking weed for at least 15 years, regularly and daily, which didn't bother me as much as the fact that he didn't really want to do anything about it or own the fact that this was the cause of problems in our relationship. And it wasn't just our relationship, it was his relationship with friends and family. And he just wasn't really ambitious in his career. Talked about it, but just never did anything. And so he just never took ownership of, he like recognized the problem, but didn't put it down to smoking weed. And one day I just had enough. I think what I've taken from this relationship, I definitely am less tolerant of things like drug use, and I'm very conscious of the effects of weed, which I guess I've always considered to be a soft drug. It's definitely had side effects that are more serious than what I realised. And yeah, I'm just very wary of behaviour and relationships, and yeah, just don't really have a tolerance for drugs at all since then. The odd joint now and then I think I could deal with, but yeah, if it was a thing that they were hiding, I think the hiding part of that is far worse than the actual drug use itself.
The Hookup on Triple J.
That was listener Sarah from Byron Bay talking about how weed affected her relationship. You're on The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich, and we're talking about how smoking weed can affect your relationships, your sex lives and love. And joining us to work out what goes on when you're smoking weed and how it might affect your relationship is Jared Weir. He's the head counsellor at The Cabin, which is a treatment centre for people dealing with substance abuse. He's worked with many people who've become addicted to marijuana. Jared, thank you so much for joining us on The Hookup.
Thanks for having me, Nat.
I'll start with kind of the obvious setting up question, though. Why is marijuana so popular among young people? We heard just there that about 70% of 20-year-olds have tried it.
Absolutely. And I think that comes down to, in a large way, it's that old adage of the gateway drug. Not that it necessarily does lead on to, you know, harder drug use, but it is more a case of its accessibility. So in your teens, I think everyone finds that, as far as accessibility is concerned, marijuana's right up there.
Yeah. And what does using weed long-term do to you?
Okay, so when we look at long-term use, appetite suppression, mood disorders, as Sarah was saying in her piece, lowering of sexual drive in a lot of users, it essentially can cause a raft of social problems. Yeah, and I mean, for me, some of the longest stints I've ever seen people do in inpatient rehabilitation have been because of weed addictions.
In your experience, do you find that people who already smoke seek out like-minded people or people who also smoke?
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon for me, and I suppose a bulk of my clients who do come in for weed, a lot of them will sort of say that they're a connoisseur or they're an enthusiast, which... when they're coming in with partners and things like that, because it's taking up so much of their life. But yeah, it's a social outlet for a lot of people, especially at the start.
Well, when you have how does it affect you socially though? Like, does it make it easier to socialise for people, or can it make you a bit less attentive as a partner?
I suppose when we look at the research on this, in the early stages, absolutely, it can make you a little bit more sociable. But long-term and chronic use generally leads to a withdrawal from social activities. The motivation to actually go out and do things drops.
Mm. We got a call in from Dylan from Cessnock. Hey, Dylan. Your girlfriend was smoking weed. How did it affect your relationship?
Well, she has she was diagnosed with bipolar and also severe depression. And I myself just smoke weed every now and then. Like, I'll go through phases every few months where I'll have a joint or a few pipes here and there. But I realised it was some point last year that she was using it to escape that she had depression and bipolar. And she'd always say, look, it helps my bipolar and it helps my depression. But she was just using it as a crutch. And I don't know if she was really aware, and it took her solid 7 to 8 months to really get it through her head that she was using it and it was doing more worse than it was good, and that she just couldn't rely on something like this to, you know, be happy all the time and escape that that reality.
What ended up happening with you, Dylan?
I told her what happened. I told her how I felt and what I thought was happening, and the first few times she, you know, shrugged it off or got really angry about it, but eventually we got to the point where I was like, look, it's either me or the weed, and she did obviously, like, she did choose me. And, yeah, she stopped smoking for a solid probably 4 or 5 months, nearly 6 months straight, and she's fine now. And we still occasionally smoke weed every now and then, I think once every 2 months, but now she's completely fine, yeah.
And do you think, like, how's your read on her mental health been since she stopped?
Oh, so much better, because when she was smoking weed, like, when she was high, she was, you know, happy, like, quite happy as, and always laughing and giggly and stuff like that, as you usually are. But when she didn't have marijuana all the time, because it's an expensive thing to smoke all the time, which we didn't have it all the time, she was grumpy all the time. She didn't want to leave the house. So like the council saying, didn't leave the house, had no sex drive, had no interest in doing things at all, really. But now when she stopped smoking it after the first, probably after the first week, I started noticing a lot more signs. She'd want to go outside more and things like that. But after 6 months, she's nearly a completely different person, actually. So it's definitely opened my eyes up to how abusing weed and using it as a crutch for mental illness can really affect you and the person that you're with.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dylan. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you.
So, I mean, Dylan was very lucky in the sense that his partner decided to drop her habit for him or ease back a little bit. But then we heard in Sarah's story that her partner chose weed over her. So how do you negotiate that when you're trying to get through to your partner?
Well, that becomes a really difficult point in the relationship, because sometimes a partner will absolutely choose weed over the other person. I suppose it comes down to whether they find that moment of clarity where they realise that the weed is not the be-all and end-all to their problems. And I think that call actually raised up a very important issue when it comes to people using weed to help with medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one of the biggest dangers we have with the introduction of medical marijuana in other countries, and we're looking at it here. The weed you're getting for medical marijuana is vastly different from what you're getting from your dealer on the street. So it actually can often cause a lot more harm than good in that case.
Well, yeah. I mean, depending on what you've got, like maybe that was exacerbating her mental health issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've got a call in now from Tim from Hawthorne. Hey, Tim. How did weed influence your relationship?
Hey, thanks so much for that. Yeah, so I started seeing a girl probably about middle of last year. We both smoked before, but not really that much. And throughout sort of the course of spending more time with each other, we started to smoke sort of more and more together. And so I guess as opposed to the last few callers, like we sort of went on that journey together, if that makes sense. So after a while, probably 6 months, we were probably smoking almost every single day. Maybe not the healthiest thing, but it sort of was funny because we're going through it together and we're really open with each other. It sort of opened up different aspects of the relationship. So we'd go out, go to the movies while high, and sometimes it was almost a better experience, I think. And so because we had all those fun times together while we were high, I think that in a funny way sort of helped the relationship to develop without, you know, normal sort of social stigmas around dating and things like that. It was this sort of euphoric association that we put on the relationship together.
Yeah, it helped you connect. And how are you guys doing now?
We've sort of stopped seeing each other for slightly different reasons. We both come out of pretty serious relationships when we started dating, so we're sort of working on it now. Actually, just before we stopped, we both decided we're going to go on a month-long stint of not smoking. And we've definitely cut it down since then, but it'd be interesting to see what would happen if or when we get back together, to see how that would impact on the relationship moving forward.
Yeah, Jared, what do you think about that and having that filter be on your relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I've seen come through the doors at our practice, where couples were smoking together. But eventually, as relationships obviously get more serious, you want to settle down, maybe try and buy a house in the city at the moment or have children, those sort of things. One partner might want to slow down, and then it can be a real issue to the relationship. On top of that, you're looking at all of the euphoric experiences you're having, or a large majority of the ones you're having in the relationship are based on being chemically altered.
Hmm. So does it make it feel like a false relationship?
Well, remove that false high, and you're just looking for natural highs sort of down the track, and it doesn't seem quite as interesting, the relationship.
Tim, is that what happened for you?
Look, I think that's a really interesting point. I think if it gets more serious further down the track, then that's definitely something we'd look at. And that's definitely a concern that I had, was that a lot of those happy moments were being experienced, you know, with that sort of veil over them, as opposed to it just sort of being like a natural experience. So yeah, I can definitely see some sort of merit in that for sure.
Hey, Tim, thank you so much for the call.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks for Gretchen.
If you're struggling with substance abuse, you can get help. You can call Lifeline 13 11 14. And you're on The Hookup on Triple J with me, Nat Tenchich. And I'm joined by Jared Weir. He's the head counsellor at The Cabin. We've got a text in here. It says, I'm disgusted by weed and would never date someone who used it. It's a revolting addiction. I have no sympathy for anyone using it or the troubles that come from it. That's very intense opinion. Yeah,
very intense.
But it's a reality for a lot of young people. So negotiating those relationships is something you need to kind of be prepared to do. You're going to come across it.
Absolutely. And I was having a discussion the other day about the prevalence on dating apps of the 420 friendly phrasing.
Yeah, right.
And it's an odd thing to come across, I find.
Yeah. What kind of like success, I suppose, do people have online with that? Like, it's interesting that we've come into this space where like the use of weed is so mainstream. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely. And as you were saying earlier, 70% of sort of 20-year-olds are trying it. But yeah, it's now becoming and it's almost like they're saying that's part of their personality that they actually smoke weed, which is an odd thing to base your personality on, I think.
Yeah, it can become like a real identifier for people, and maybe like what happened with Tim as well, that like that's what their relationship identity was based on.
Exactly.
And when you take it away, what do you have?
Yes. Yeah.
We got a call in from Alex from Sunshine Coast. We got in the way of your relationship. What happened to you?
Hey, how you going? My girlfriend was a pretty big pot smoker before we got together, and I knew that, and it didn't bother me in any way. And I wasn't much of a pot smoker, but one night we were out, and she kept convincing me that smoking pot was really good, and I wasn't really keen, but I just decided I'd try it this one time. But she didn't know, because we were only relatively new to dating, that I was on a pretty high prescription for Ritalin.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
We ended up, she bought some weed that ended up being laced with speed, and I ended up overdosing and ended up in hospital.
Yikes. What happened after that?
She decided that I was just being weak and I couldn't smoke pot as great as she could. And, we ended up breaking up not too long after that because she kept saying that it was because I was weak and couldn't smoke pot like she could.
Jared's got his jaw agape right now. Jared, what do you say to that?
I really think you sort of dodged a bullet there in the long run. That's phenomenal. You do highlight one of the really significant risks we're seeing with laced weed and things like that going around. But, yeah, it sounds like that probably wouldn't have been a fantastic long-term relationship anyway. But that's terrible. And I hope you're feeling you sort of pulled through that okay.
Yeah, definitely. Just stomach pump and all the fun stuff, but was good in the end.
Yikes. And did you kind of mention that to her ahead of trying it? Like did that risk factor sort of, did you think of it?
No. So I was pretty uneducated on pot, so I didn't even know that you could lace pot with stuff like that. Like it was, marijuana was not something in my real education.
Yeah, so I
didn't know that you could put speed with marijuana and that it would help get you high and all sorts of stuff. So
thank you so much for the call, Alex.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah. And how do you like say no if you're in Alex's situation where a partner is maybe grappling, not necessarily addicted, but using a substance that you think could be a trigger for you? How do you deal with that situation?
I mean, that becomes easier as the relationship's more established. But in those early days, and I do have a lot of clients who come through, and one of the big questions is, well, how do I date now that I'm clean? Because a lot of them will, they are, we will suggest that not only give up your drug of choice, but give up pretty much everything else. And yeah, the dating scene is hazardous for them because 420 friendly is a really common tag on dating sites, but no one seems to be putting up that they are clean. Or, I mean, I generally will go suggesting clients just come up with another excuse. It's a health or fitness thing. They're straight edge punks, anything like that.
Mm, there's a few strategies there if you want to be able to say no.
Yes.
You should just be able to say no. But yeah. There you go. Maddie from Mackay, your partner smokes weed. How's it affected your relationship?
I guess for us personally, it was something that we started together when we were younger, so we kind of went on the journey together. But about 3 years ago, I personally decided to stop, and he decided that he wanted to keep going. But I've noticed over the last almost year that it's really starting to strain us, and I can't seem to get him to quit. He seems to want, he believes he self-medicates with it, and he's in the right, and I'm in the wrong for even asking him to quit.
What do you think, Jared?
Again, the self-medication thing, it's a minefield. More often than not, it's not the case. A lot of the times, right, whatever they are medicating with it isn't being medicated by a THC-based strain of weed anyway. Most of the medication stuff is CBD-based, which doesn't get you high anyway. Mm. And I think, yeah, that's that tough question that sort of, Maddie, you'd need to ask yourself how you move forward from here, whether you sort of have that hard discussion, whether he actually needs a sort of more intense treatment or if you can actually even get him there.
I can't even get him out of the door, to be honest. He doesn't want to go anywhere. I think, like you were mentioning earlier about the side effects and not wanting to interact socially with anyone, he goes to work and he comes home and he's lost pretty much all his friends because of it. He gets invited to go out for dinners and parties and he just won't leave the house. So I pretty much interact with my friends and he just lives in his little bubble.
How much longer do you think that can be sustainable, Jared?
But that's interesting. It's a case of that sort of the ball's in Maddie's court on this one, right? If you can't see him changing it, and a lot of people won't just change. They need a catalyst to change. So he may not change until Maddie decides to leave the relationship,
or even maybe just make that clear that it's a thing that could happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Maddie, thank you very much for the call. I hope that helps.
Thank you for the advice.
Cheers. Rhys from Cairns, you've called in. You smoke weed, but you think it might be affecting you. What's going on?
Oh, it's affecting me, all right. What's going on? I've been smoking for like 16 years.
Yeah, wow.
Also, and I've tried to quit multiple times, but it sort of always ends up in the same place. I was with a girl for 7 years, getting out like when I started smoking, and we would always sort of try to quit, but then we sort of make each other feel better about not stopping again. So that sort of ended, but yeah, it's just a constant cycle, kind of like you want to quit, but you don't sort of see the point once you sort of get into a cycle like that. You know?
Yeah, Jared, what are some strategies for helping for people to quit?
Well, I suppose first and foremost would be to find some sort of treatment, because it is a really difficult thing to do, and a lot of people can't just do it on their own, especially with weed being so socially acceptable these days. It makes it even harder. And as I said, some of the longest stints I've ever seen in inpatient rehabs have been people on weed. Rhys, how old were you when you started?
I was about 15 years old when I started smoking every day.
Yep. Okay. I suppose this brings up a very important point. When you do start smoking weed every day at a young age like that, your emotional and social growth really does get stunted. So dealing with adult things when you're sort of stunted at that 15 mark can be really, really difficult, because you've been checking out since your mid-teens, essentially.
Oh, absolutely. I'm virtually socially retarded, but still in a good way, you know. It's hard because life's about 85% bullshit, and it's sort of, marijuana makes the bullshit so easy to deal with and so lovely, you know? So it's a tricky one.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you've been on it for so long, it's hard to know, like, who you are without it and how you can cope without it and with general life.
That's what I think. Maybe is that just my jaded view of the world because I've been smoking for so long, or... is it just the way the world is? But it's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally dependent on your view on the world, right? So I don't think mine's as high as 85% bullshit, but mine's definitely up there. It's maybe about 40.
There's a lot of bullshit.
But yeah,
a normal person's life, they go to work, they, you know, a lot of things, there's a lot of just bullshit.
The tricky thing for you is even if when you do stop, you not only have to learn to renegotiate the world as, you know, without weed, but you also have to redefine who you are and figure out who you are and who you are in the world.
That's true.
Yeah. So how should Jared go about that? How should Reese go about that, Jared?
Yeah, well, firstly, it's if at someone with that length of sort of usage and starting at that age, I would definitely say be seeking some professional advice. So go see a psychologist who sort of specialises in this and really explore what you need to do, because there are some really big things that need to happen there. I mean, the other option is there is always community groups like 12 Step and things like that that can sort of help out.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for the call, Reese. Hope that helps. You are listening to The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich and I'm joined by Jared Weir, head counsellor at The Cabin, which is a treatment centre for people dealing with substance abuse. And if you are struggling with substance abuse, you can get help. You can call Lifeline 13 11 14. And we got a call in from Dee from Brisbane. Now, you're a regular smoker and your ex tried to make you quit. How did that go down?
That didn't go down well because I wanted to, you know, make the relationship work, and I conceded and I told him I quit, but actually I just smoked behind his back because for me, marijuana, I find there is medicinal merit in it, and I am someone who suffers from an anxiety disorder, and with PTSD, I find that it helps me wind down in the evening and it lets me function like a normal person, and I get to sleep and I get to go to my job and I'm sober during the day. And I function. I'm a communications professional. I started smoking weed when I was 18 years old, and I was introduced to it through uni friends. I never touched it when I was in high school. I was very conservative when I was in high school. But when I was at uni, I was open to new experiences and new friends from all sorts of different backgrounds. And now I'm with a new person, and I've been with them for a year and a half. They smoke once a week on a Friday night. Sometimes they don't, and they let me be who I want to be, and that they wholly accept that I like to vape weed daily, and that I hold down a job and I work 9 to 5. I work in the public sector and I give back to the community. So I don't know. I find that it really has helped me, and I felt that because I had that really bad experience where I was lying to my partner and that didn't feel good, I was able to be upfront this time because I learned from that experience. And my partner was, you know, I was lucky to have a partner who accepted me and let me, indulge in what I felt is good for me and my soul.
Yeah, what do you say to that, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, the lying and hiding is absolutely generally what leads to the breakdown of these relationships, because you've got to go out and see a dealer, or you've got to go out and smoke, and or you've got to hide in, you know, hide your usage or your spending or a raft of things. As far as the medicinal benefits of marijuana for something like PTSD, I would just ask if you've explored things like EMDR or emotional eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Yes, I do. I have, and because PTSD affected my work, I had to go through an independent medical examination with a psychiatrist to visit if I was fit to work. And he said that, you know, 6 months of more psychological therapy, CBT talking therapy, was fine. And he gave me a prescription to a drug. And I decided not to go through that prescription. I followed through with my therapy and I did my return to work, and I came back into that work working full-time. That spurred me to finish my uni, and I graduated in 2013 with my communications qualification. So I now, you know, I'm a uni graduate and I'm working in a white-collar job that I enjoy very much.
Yeah, just so long as you sort of explored all those avenues, absolutely.
I'm just sad that we don't have legal marijuana, but I've been to America in the last 3 weeks, and I visited Seattle and Portland, and it's just so amazing to see something that's recreationally and fully available. I just had to flash my passport and they let me buy, and I found that the stuff there was just higher quality than what we have here.
Well, thanks for the call, Dee. Really appreciate it. Shannon from Newmarket, you've had an experience with weed. How did it affect your relationship?
So I started smoking about 5 years ago with my ex-girlfriend. She basically got me into it. You know, like, I'm not putting the blame on her, but it was there and it was something that I decided to do. But eventually it did break down our relationship. She wanted to stop, but I was just starting to get into it, and so I didn't want to. And that really affected us. Like, it affected our sex life, like, 100%. I can see that it's affecting our current one now with my new partner. But, yeah, so I found my now partner, and she had stopped smoking a long time beforehand, but I got her into it because I didn't want to smoke alone anymore, as selfish as it is. And now I can see it's really affecting us. Like, and I'm at the stage now where I want to stop because I can see that, but now she's fallen back into it. And so it's just like a never-ending cycle at the moment, but it's definitely affected our sex life. Like, you know, like, we haven't had sex in probably over 6 months because, I don't know, maybe, like, we're just too high to do it or what. But, yeah, there's just no drive anymore. And, you know, now I'm just worried that the history can repeat itself. Like, I'm worried that it can break this relationship that I'm in now as well.
Yeah, Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we see fairly commonly is the lowering of a sex drive in relationships from weed use. It does show that, you know, the studies do show that it does lower the libido. But, I mean, you both sort of quit at times on and off and gone through that. Possibly look at going to some sort of relationship counselling service where you can both go in and you can discuss it and discuss your apprehensions about the relationship in a pretty open way. Yep. And that's probably what I'd suggest doing in that instance.
Okay, yep. Yeah, it's been on my mind, but, yeah, so that's something I should definitely look at then. Thank you for the advice.
Thanks for the call, Sharon. Danny from Melbourne, while smoking with your partner wasn't great for your relationship, there was something that it enhanced for you.
Yeah, so while I think it kind of contributed to a little bit of the downfall of the relationship, it actually really kind of contributed to our sex life positively, so kind of opposite of what everyone's been saying. It allowed for kind of a more uninhibited connection and kind of just have a more kind of closeness in terms of when we both came together and all that. And my sex life hasn't actually been as good since.
Yeah, well, that's a risk that can happen, right, Jared?
Absolutely. So it's like being on a roller coaster every day and eventually you have to get off, right?
Yeah.
And everything's so good on the roller coaster.
Exactly. Everything's so fantastic on the roller coaster that the Dodgem cars just don't cut it anymore. But I suppose, Daddy, I would question, how often were you smoking? Was it just for sort of sexual activity or were you a more chronic user?
No, well, he smoked every day and I only ever smoked when I was kind of around him.
Okay, okay.
So we didn't always have sex while we were high.
Okay, okay.
But you thought the sex was better when you were high?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Would you trade those experiences that you've had knowing that it's now, like, dulled the your sex without weed?
I think I'd be a little bit more cautious entering relationship and knowing the effect that sex weed has on both the sex life and, like, the rest of it, because it did, like, it made him unmotivated a lot, and then I saw that affected me slowly as well. So, like, I'd say I'd probably use it a lot more recreationally in sex, but also, like, finding other things, outside of weeds to kind of spice things up a bit, I suppose.
Yeah, keep it interesting. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Spicing it up is always a fantastic option, and if you can do that without chemicals of some kind, then that's probably a better option.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for the call, Danny.
No worries.
Jess from Bondi, you've called into the hookup. You were able to have your partner quit smoking. How did you do it?
Yeah. So originally we were both smoking a bit together, but I was doing it very recreationally and he'd probably been addicted for quite some time. And I ended up obviously having to give him an ultimatum, but he almost decided to choose weed instead. And it was becoming such an issue that I guess it was impacting upon his family's, like, other siblings' studies and things like that. And so we had to sort of do this healthy intervention where we all kind of, like, I mean, his dad got mad, but the rest of us just kind of had to have this healthy intervention with him and support him through the transition because a lot of big changes had to happen. He was going out a lot at night as well. Like, he was dissociated from the rest of us and would, you know, go to friends' houses. And he was in the habit of being around people who would really enable it. And we sort of just had to, you know, kindly say to him, they're not really helping you make good habits. And, yeah, it was definitely affecting our relationship really badly, you know, like sex life and everything-wise.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jess. I'm going to put that to Jared just while we have a minute left.
Yeah.
Is that a good move in terms of getting someone to get off weed, is getting your family and your friends and their greater network involved?
Absolutely. Family and social supports are so critical in any sort of recovery. And getting the family to sort of explain how it's not only how they see it affecting the person but how it's affecting their relationships is absolutely critical.
Yeah, and Jared, how can people get help if they need to, if they're struggling with substance abuse? Just one final kind of place to go.
Yeah, sure. So GPs are a great starting point. Everyone has a GP generally, and they can generally refer you on. Obviously, they can come and see me. There's plenty of government agencies that will help you out.
Thanks so much, Jared Weir, head counsellor at The Cabin, for coming in and helping us out.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have you got a topic you really want covered? Shoot us an email via thehookup@abc.net.au or hit us up on Facebook.